The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with great value travel insurance online at supervalue.ie.
Retrovile is a marriage counselling programme designed to help couples repair and save their marriages. The programme's been growing steadily since it first started here in Ireland a number of years ago. And this morning I'm joined here now by Pat and Marion Duff, a married couple from Dublin who've gone through the programme and now help other couples who find themselves in similar situations. So firstly, Pat and Marion, welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
This programme called Retrovile, how did you end up in it?
Well, we actually, can I just say that Retrovi isn't counselling, the first thing off. We ended up in Retrovi because we found ourselves in a difficult situation. We weren't communicating and there was a lot of resentment and hurt built up in the marriage. And I saw a little ad in the Alive newspaper for a lifeline for marriage. And we contact to them. That was on a Wednesday, and on the Friday we were on the Retrovi programme.
Right, by the way, the Retrovi programme, it's not a marriage counselling programme.
No, it's not counselling. So the couples who come on the weekend, it's a residential weekend and four Sundays, and they come on the weekend and they only hear the stories of the couples who are presenting the weekend. They don't have to share anything about what goes on in their marriage or the problems or whatever the reason that they're there.
OK, well then, Pat and Marion, you're both here. How long have you been married?
I got married in 1978.
Oh, God, I was never good at maths. How long is that?
So that makes us what?
Nearly 37 years.
Nearly 37 years.
Nearly 37 years. OK, how did you meet?
We met twice. Funny enough.
You met twice?
Yeah.
How did you meet? We met twice.
We met twice.
That sounds like an answer on Larry's Just a Minute quiz. Hold on a second. Let me
16 years of age, I met Marion at a dance, a local school dance in St. Paul's.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a card. We had to have a membership card to get in. So a girl I knew gave me her card and her name was Mary. So I put a T in. So I went in as Marty.
So you cheated?
I did cheat. Yeah. Oh, I'm not an honest person. Went in and I can still remember the night, and I saw this vivacious young woman dancing and she beaming smile on her face, and I was immediately attracted to her. So
that'd be Marion, I hope.
It was.
Oh,
yeah.
Phew.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was getting around to that. Yeah. And you know, asked her up to dance and we danced, and then she agreed to meet me the next night. We went into Dublin City, went to the pictures, and we had a great night. And we agreed then to meet in St. Paul's. Sorry, we agreed to meet the following Saturday, and I was going to go to St. Paul's to dance with her. So I turned up next Saturday at the appointed time, appointed place, and there was no Marion. And I waited for an hour, and then I went up to St. Paul's and she was dancing away. Went over to her and I got the cold shoulder. Rejected, Dave. Rejected.
Probably said, I had said Cleary's clock. You missed her.
Yeah, she wasn't there. So 4 years later, I'm in a German bar called the Beer Keller in Dublin.
Oh, and now I see why you say twice.
Yeah,
oh, right,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
And I had a very healthy quantity of Lauenbrau Munchen German beer, which was a lot stronger than I thought it was. And but I'd been eyeing up this vivacious, well-tanned young woman the far side of the pub. And fortified with Furstenberg, I strolled over and said, any chance of a date? And she looked at me and said, I know you. And I said, well, I don't know you. And she said, you're Pat Duff. I went out with you 4 years ago. And for the second time, I had chosen Marion.
Right, what a lovely little story, I think. Yeah. Drink-fueled, but lovely. Yeah, now, Marion, what about you? Like, how would you describe your marriage, say, in the early years?
In the early years, it was fine. You know, you're in that romantic stage and everything is lovely and romantic and it's wonderful. And, you know, it was fine. And we'd have busy social life and we were working and everything was going great. And then, you know, you gradually move on. And then, you know, maybe the person that you think you're married, well, the person that you think you're married actually is beginning to turn out like the person that, you know, you're not, he's not quite what you thought he'd be.
Well, could you use a phrase like falling out of love?
Probably good. People would describe it as falling out of love, yeah. But, you know, reality begins to, as they say, the laundry sets in, you know, and reality, you know, you begin to see the person and all the little things that probably were quite attractive to you when you were going out together now are becoming irritants.
Well, how many years into the marriage would you say these things were happening that you've spoken about in the last 60
about
seconds?
2 years, I'd say.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
But that's looking at it retrospectively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had asked, you might have known at the time.
No.
No,
it's a very conscious downward spiral. That's the way I would describe it. Then.
Right. And a huge itch that needed to be scratched after 7 years, as they call it.
More or less, yeah. Right, yeah. But it was 20 years before we really scratched it.
You know? Oh, really? Okay. So things started to change early enough, frankly, yes. And then whatever, and then just sort of gradually got whatever, to the point where you could possibly find yourself saying, I love him, but I'm not in love with him. Would that be the phrase? No?
Well, we didn't kind of use those phrases. I think they're more phrases that are used nowadays. Probably just irritated by them. You know?
I feel I'm on the retrovale side of things here. The way I'd
answer that, Dave, is I would have said I resent her, but I'm stuck and I'll just make the best.
Resent her why?
Because there were lots of issues that we had never discussed. Marion had, in my opinion, there were things she would do that would irritate me, but I didn't know how to address them. If we tried to address them, we'd end up in a row. We didn't know how to deal with things. There were things that I was doing that was irritating Marion. We'd end up in a row. But there were never any major rows. We were kind of polite people. You know, there was no raised voices, nobody throwing around dishes. There was no screaming and roaring in our house, but there was gradual decline into indifference and resentment. You know, you could say, was it 5 years? Was it 7 years? It was a gradual decline. But eventually we both ended up in a period of, and this is a phrase we learned in Retrovile, we ended up becoming what we call married singles.
Okay. Well, now we are talking Retrovile here. You went through the program. You now help other couples who find themselves in similar situations. Anybody who'd like to get in touch in terms of issues in your own marriage or in someone's close to you, 51551 is the text, or davefanning@rte.ie. And here's one here at 51551. Retrovile transformed our marriage when we experienced difficulties. We learned to communicate in a safe environment with no need to share our difficulties. The presenting couples were such an inspiration, sharing their own struggles intertwined with the techniques taught. Can't recommend it enough. And that comes in from Tommy and Anne. My ex says I messed up our wedding day. I turned up. That's from Tom Carew in Dundrummond, County Tip at 51551. So, you know, you would argue about things. You would argue frequently, possibly, about things.
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily huge arguments. And it sounds like they might have been blinking better if they were.
Possibly,
yeah. One big blow up sometimes is better than like the termites that just keep creeping in and undermining the whole
thing. And you could argue about anything.
You could argue about anything.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But how you argue, I mean, a conflict in relationships is inevitable, but it's how you deal with it. And we're not trained to deal with conflict, particularly in relationship.
We as human beings, we as Irish people who get married.
It's
worldwide.
This is worldwide. Retrovile is worldwide, you know. But in Retrovile, we learned that we have a phrase, conflict is either a seed or a stone. If you learn to deal with it properly and respectfully, it's a seed of growth.
Well, then if I could ask for details, it'd be really cruel here for a second. Mary, what was it about Pat that annoyed you? Can you think of anything? You must have a little list of one or two or three things. You mentioned the word laundry earlier.
Well, you know, I would say, you know, say I'd say, OK, I'm going out for an hour and I might come back for 2 hours. And that he would really get so irritated and annoyed. But I would be a very easygoing person. I'd say, what are you so annoyed about? But that would be, you know, an incident where there would be then we wouldn't be speaking, or he'd be annoyed at me or I'd be annoyed at him. And simple things like that.
Absolutely.
You know, or maybe he was a very tidy person and I would be an untidy person, and that would irritate him, and then it'd irritate me because he, you know, would cause problems.
So basically it might lead to a high level of conflict or a lack of resolving conflict.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
You know the way they say, like, you know, whenever you're having a fight, never go to bed with the fight, you know, always at least work it out the night before.
Try to work it out.
But that doesn't always work out either.
No, it doesn't. Because it's difficult.
You have to know how to work it out.
Yeah. And, you know, what we've learned is, as Pat said about conflict, I suppose, I never learned how to deal with conflict, and I learned from my family of origin just to shut down and close down my feelings, which isn't, you know, because the tools that we've learned through Retrovi, I have learned how to actually deal with conflict, to express how I'm feeling and to share my feelings. And we both have also learned how to listen to each other and to respect each other.
Well, then, would there have been reactions in the past that those kind of fantastic little kind of almost silent ones, like the eye rolling kind of stuff,
you know,
or the correcting the other person?
Yeah,
yes. You know, the little things that, like, really are just an extra dig, and you know damn well they're a dig.
Yeah, they are.
What we learned, Dave, you know, from the program was that really, in many cases, we're trying to fix the other person. If only you could see it my way, we'd be all hunky-dory. Mm-hmm. But really, after the program, from my own perspective, I realized I'd brought a lot of baggage into the marriage that I didn't even know I brought in. And I had to work on myself. The only person we can change is ourselves. And yes, you talk about the eye rolling. I mean, in communication, the words, they constitute a very small part of communication.
Right.
The tone of voice,
the body language,
the sigh,
the walking out of the room,
stamping out of the room, the indignant stride, all this jazz. We all play these games. We're not even conscious we're doing it, but it's undermining the relationship. And then, particularly, and then what happened to us, the children were involved. I actually realized at some stage, now this is before we came to Retrify, that, you know, I was, the kind of generational stuff, I had problems with my family of origin, came from, when I'm looking back now, it was a difficult background. My mother suffered from depression. The house was a very tense place to be. I began to see the same things happening in my home with my children. And I realized there's something wrong here. I didn't want to perpetuate this down through the generations. You know?
Okay, well, look, just a few of the ones here. That just, my wife locked me out of our bedroom 20 years ago. We sleep in different rooms since. Is there anything I can do? She's adamant she's happy with the situation. What kind of advice do you give to sort of that problem?
What I would say to that couple is there's nothing they can do operating as individuals. If he can get his wife, and they can say, let's give this thing a bash. Can we? What can Retrovi do? Well, you mentioned the word counselling. Well, we're very distinctive when we say we don't counsel. We're not professionals. We're a couple who've ended up in deep trouble, and it was deep trouble. But you come on a Retrovi program, and you will learn the communication techniques that will break down what appear to be impossible
barriers.
Okay,
I have to ask about the communication techniques. If only a religious background, a lot of the texts are just saying it straight out, saying the Retrovi website says that marriage is the union of one man and one woman, which is not the way it is in law in this country at the moment, and describes itself as an international community empowered by the Holy Spirit. Mm. It has a very narrow and discriminatory religious base, and that comes in from Deirdre. And there's another few here. Asks us, is there any religious connection to the programme they attended? And the answer is obviously yes.
It is, yeah. It started in the Catholic tradition, and it is based... religious is a strange word. There would be a spiritual connection. Yes, there is a religious connection. Actually, what happens on the program is you hear from three separate couples on the program. And I didn't finish what I was trying to say is we call it a peer ministry. We're simply couples who tell our story about how we recovered in our marriage. It's very practical in terms of how it deals with the communication techniques and so on and so forth. It deals with conflict. It deals with intimacy, when intimacy breaks down, et cetera, et cetera. What the religious aspect of it is, if you want to use that word religion, is that, you know, there are issues that everybody has in their marriage. And when we deal with these issues bit by bit, section by section, a priest works with us who also has to tell his story of personal struggle and so on and so forth. It actually brings out the human element.
True, but you do realise a lot of people would run a mile now because they don't want to have anything religious to do with anything to do with husband and wife and the life they live. I mean, a lot of people would like it, but an awful lot of others wouldn't.
I actually agree with that, and it's very, very disappointing in that when people hear now it's, you know, the Catholic Church or anything to do with Catholicism, and I don't want to dwell on this because, you know, people do run a mile from it. But just to say, we've had people come on the programme of all faiths and none, to be quite honest about it. We've had atheists, we've had Muslims, we've had people from other Christian denominations, etc. Nobody tries to, you know, convert anybody to any particular way of thinking. It simply refers back at times. It takes sections from gospel messages and it brings them to life.
That's going to scare a lot of people. The Holy Spirit is going to scare a lot of people. A priest being one of the three people is going to scare a lot of people. Let's just leave it that for a second. Look, the root of the arguing is just, it's anything. I mean, it's just living together, it can happen. Okay. When you tried to get help, where did you go for help? Was there any reason to necessarily go where you ended up going, or did you just land there?
Initially we went and we had counselling, and that was really good and helpful. But then, you know, we kind of needed something else. We needed more because we didn't actually really learn how to communicate and how to share our innermost thoughts and feelings. So when we saw a Lifeline for Married Couples, I basically didn't care. I didn't even think about the programme. I just thought, a Lifeline, that's what I need.
Yeah.
And we went on the programme. And when we met the couples who were presenting the programme, I thought, oh my God, these are so nice. They're such ordinary people. They're people like us. And they've been through you know, difficulties in their marriage and look at how well, you know, they are, and they seem to be, you know, they've come through the difficulties. So looking at those couples and them sharing, you know, what they went through over the weekend, I thought, well, if they can do it, we can do it. There is an opportunity here. And I learned things that I never learned before. I learned about, you know, your family of origin, how it affects you. I learned about conflict management, intimacy, about trust, forgiveness and healing and listening. And all of these skills are taught to you. So I now have a toolbox of tools that help me to communicate with Pat, but also has helped me in you know, the wider scheme of things in my work, with my own family and, you know, with people generally.
You know, there's a lot of people probably listening and say, well, that sounds like a bit of hard work and something that I know. Like, I mean, there is another solution. Just, you know, like when people take marriage for granted, just go off and spice it up a bit without necessarily having to go into all sorts of details about, like, talking to counsellors that are, would you say what you're doing is spicing it up anyway?
Yeah, well, it is hard work because you've got to work on yourself, number one, and then you have to work on your relationship. But then what's the alternative if you go off and you live this separate life? Like that man said, he's been locked out of the bedroom. What sort of a life is that to live? And what are you teaching your children? You know, what are you passing on to your children? And, you know, the difficulties, what they see at home, they're learning at home. So isn't it worth it to go through the pain, to come out the other side where you live? You can, at least you can discuss things, you can listen to each other, you can understand each other, which will also give you, you know, help you to deal with your children, with the teenage problems, with, you know, you're never finished really rearing your children. So, I mean, isn't it worth it going through the pain to come out the other side to be able to deal with conflict in your
life? Indeed. Well, here's a bunch here. Take it from a widow of 7 months. And by the way, this is a slight admonishing, but it's not really. Take it from a widow of 7 months. After 40 years of marriage, you are lucky to have each other. And I presume you realise you are lucky to have each other. That comes in from Angela. This is a couple close to me conundrum. The hubby is wonderfully kind, but never compliments his wife. Never expresses, you look nice, you're kind, you're a great mum. Says it just does not come naturally to express his emotions or to express appreciation. She says she feels invalidated as a result. Actions are important, but words are too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, words absolutely are too. I mean, you know, there's a guy, I can't remember the name of the guy who came up with this. He said, there's five levels of communication. We speak in cliches. You know, you go into the bar, how's the man? Ah, the heart. How'd it go last night? How's it? Bullshit. I mean, you just don't, at the end of the day, you wouldn't know anything about anybody. And we all talk in this guarded way. You know, it's cocktail talk. Then we talk in facts, you know, facts. It's, you know, facts. It's 2:10 and the weather was great, blah, 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 blah. Then we state our opinions. When you really want to get to know somebody, you got to get to know them on an emotional level. You express your feelings. You say what you're feeling. Or you reveal your needs. Now, that's where intimacy really clicks in. Can I just go back to something you said there? Maybe you should go off, maybe spice up your life a bit, you know, keep it happy.
Yeah,
and that's what actually happens when a marriage, when a couple find themselves, let's say, distant. One or other or both go off and spice up their life, and they can do that in many ways. What did I do? I got into sport big time. Half the time it was so I didn't have to go home and, you know.
Right.
I also got into socializing with guys. I worked in a job where there was, you know, high energy, and we would drink a lot after work, and that was great. But it was doing nothing for the marriage. And then you can end up getting involved in third-party relationships. You meet somebody else.
Yeah.
And, okay, it's spicing up your life, but it's not doing anything for your marriage. And you've got to work on your marriage together.
Okay, yeah. There's one here that says, I know my husband is full of resentment and irritation but refuses to talk about it. What do you do? Asks Mary.
I would suggest to them that they come on a Retrovi weekend and they learn the tools. And
yeah, take a chance. Do something
different. Take a chance, yeah. Why not take a chance? Just, you know, isn't it worth doing something about it to come out in a better place and live the rest of your life in a happier place?
Well, then what about changing? Like, what's in this case, an untidy person? What's the solution with an untidy person? Do they change or does the tidy person have to just accept it? That comes in from Alan.
I have to accept it. Marian hasn't changed. And you know what? It never really mattered in the first place. In fact, there was an incident this morning. Actually, this morning. It's come up now.
It's another laundry quote.
Yeah, it's another laundry quote. We're getting ready to come here. We're under a little bit of pressure, as you might imagine. And I noticed this oil sprayed on the wall a stain of oil on the wall in the bedroom. I said, where did that come from? I was puzzled. How do we use a splash of oil on the wall? And Marion says, oh, I was spraying some, body oil or hand oil, and it splashed onto the wall. Now, 20 years ago, that would have caused a row. Today, I said, c'est la vie, here we go.
Yeah, right, you know, okay. Oil on the wall, I love it. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. I grew up in a home where I never saw my parents argue in front of us, and that helped me shape my marriage. I'm 14 years married and very happy. Yeah. That comes in from Edith. So as you say, like parents, yeah. Kids. Yeah. My husband and I keep having the same argument. He wants to do what he wants throughout the weekend, and I have to mind our kids, etc. He's obsessed with keeping our house clean and tidy, so he spends his weekend doing unnecessary housework that is nothing practical. I'm up all hours then doing the ironing. His ideal Saturday would be for me and kids to go out for the day, and he'd have the house to himself and no one untidying it. Yeah. I cannot get him to see the bigger picture. We both work full time, yeah.
A lot of that is family of origin stuff. We bring this stuff with us.
If it's the same argument coming up, it's a deeper issue.
But so. you can sort these things out. You can sort, but it, I mean, we can't go through a program that runs for about, say, I think it's about overall about 60 hours of presentations and writing, you know, in a short radio interview. So we can't go into the detail of it. Yeah. But everything that's out there will be addressed in the program. Everything, in a practical sense.
By the way, you've gone full circle, if you like, from the two times that you met her in St. Paul's, etc., in terms of that fantastic blonde across the way, 4 years apart, etc., to arguing maybe in the second year and then going all the way up to maybe getting counselling when it was very late that you got counselling, by the way.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's never too
late. You've now gone...
I actually met her a third time, Dave.
Really?
I actually met her a third time. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Before you tell me that, do you still argue?
Absolutely. Actually, we argue better now.
Look, they're agreeing now.
Yeah, we argue better. That's the thing.
What do you mean you argue better?
We're fair.
Because we listen to each other.
No eye rolling.
No.
No door slamming.
No.
No.
No, Jesus, what's she on about?
Because I took all the doors off.
Yeah, right, okay, fair enough. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, we argue better.
Are there triggers that you know now how to avoid because it's just not fair?
I don't know about that.
Well, the thing is that if something is triggered, we know actually how to deal with it now.
Yeah, right.
So
and you do make compromises. Everything is a compromise.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes you do because you're two separate people. You're coming from totally different backgrounds. You have different ideas about things. And that's fine.
And are you facilitators now? You are facilitators now in this group.
So presenters, we call ourselves.
Presenters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you good at it, are you?
We don't know.
You'd have to ask all the other couples that.
Okay, well then basically, how do they get in touch if couples are listening now and they feel that they need help? Where can they go?
Well, we have two phone numbers and one is 086-413-5440 and the other one is 087-792-0101. We also have a website, www.retrovaille.ie.
And people can check it out there.
And they can check it out on the website. And then if they would like to speak to one of the couples, you know, we are available. But just to let people know that sometimes, you know, if they ring up, there may not be an answer, to realise that we don't have an office with somebody on the phone.
Yeah.
And to call again, we're volunteers. Also, just to express to people that this is a totally confidential programme and there's no sharing. We don't have to know anything.
We don't have to know.
The couple just work together and they work through the programme.
All right.
And the next programme is coming up on the 9th to the 11th of October. It's a residential
weekend. People can check all that out on the website.
Yes,
it's all there.
Yeah, they can.
All right. Well, listen, Pat and Marion Duff, thanks a million for coming in on the show and sharing your experience. And if you want to find out more on the programme, you go to retrouvaille.ie. Simple as that.